Today's daf is Beitza Daf Chav Tes. We're going to start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Chesam Beis, which is going to discuss how to buy a specific amount of meat when you want to buy a certain value and you don't want to mention the amount of money. The Mishnah on the top of Chav Tes Amar Alf is going to have a machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda about buying using measuring utensils, whether you're allowed to use measuring utensils or not. The Gemara is going to have two different explanations of that machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, and on each explanation we're going to ask that it seems to be a stira whether the Tanakama or Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir in Hilchos Yamtiv or more makel in Hilchos Yamtiv Mishum Simchas Yamtiv. So the Gemara is going to answer that supposed stira. Then toward the bottom of the page the Gemara is going to tell us that Abba Shaul had the Mishnah already told us, but the Gemara is going to elaborate on Abba Shaul's practice to make sure that every last drop of what he was selling would go to the customer and that he wouldn't keep anything for himself. And then we're going to discuss the halachos of whether a cook is allowed to measure the ingredients of a food that they're making on Yantif. Then on Amud Beis we're going to discuss sifting flour on Yantif, sifting flour a second time to make it nice and soft on Yantif. And the parak is going to end by discussing when a person buys something, whether he's allowed to mention the numbers of items that he needs when he's buying. Is that also some sort of violation of Mida? And that will be Bez Hashem the end of the parak. So we hope to finish the third parak of Maseches Beitza today. So let us begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Chesam Beis. Lo Yomar Adam L'Tabach, a person should not say to a butcher, Shekoli B'dinar Basar. He shouldn't say, I want to buy a dinar worth of meat, so weigh out for me exactly one dinar worth of meat. Aval Shochetu Mechalik B'nehem. But they can shecht without mentioning any monetary amount, and then the buyers will divide up exactly what they're going to take from that animal. But you're not allowed to mention a monetary amount. So it says Gemara, Hechi Avit. So what should you do if you don't want to buy the whole animal? You only want to buy and you don't even want to buy a percentage of the animal. You want to spend X amount of money, so you want to buy X amount of value of meat. So what are you supposed to do? You can't mention any money. So he had the besura amri tarto palgu tarto benarish amri chalko palgu chalka bepamadisa amri uzio palgu uzia benar pakodu masamachasia amri rivo palgu riva. In every different place, they would cut up certain size pieces of meat that were yadua, that was the size that they would cut up in that place, and everyone knew what the prices were. So you wouldn't even have to mention how much money you were spending. They had these cuts of meat that you knew exactly what they cost and you knew exactly how big they were, so you were able to refer to them by the cut of meat without having to mention anything about the prices. So it was a fantastic system. They didn't have to worry about mentioning prices on Yantif. Says the Mishnah, Omer Adam L'Chavero Maleli Kli Zeh Avalo B'mida. A person can say to his friend, fill up this kli, but you're not allowed to discuss the mida, the exact measurement of the kli. And then we're going to see what that means. There's going to be two deos in the Gemara, what the Tanakhama is telling us you're not allowed to do, what it means avalo b'mida. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im haya kli shal mida lo yimalen. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's only a problem if it's a kli shal mida. And again, we're going to have two explanations in the Gemara, what the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about. Maisa b'abishol ben batnes shayim imali midos of Merv Yom Tov, minosan lil kuchos bi Yom Tov. Abishol would always prepare to all of he would measure out all of the items that he wanted to sell before Yantif, so that he would just be able to give them to people who would walk into a store on Yantif, and he wouldn't have to waste time on Yantif measuring things out, so he would take care of all the measuring before Yantif. Abishol lomer af b'moiros hakein mipnei birurei amidos. Abishol says that this Abishol ben Batnas would do this even on Chalamoed because of birurei amidos. Birurei Amidos means he wants to let all the foam settle, meaning if he's going to pour a gallon of wine, so it's going to look like a gallon because it's foamy at the top, but really if you give it time to settle, it's a little less than a gallon. He doesn't want to sell what looks like a gallon but isn't really a gallon, so he'll give it plenty of time to settle in advance so that he can fill in the Midos. That's the Birurei Amidos. So he would do that even on Chol HaMoed. The Chum say he would even do this on a weekday. He would prepare it a day in advance because of the mitzvah amidos, which again relates to being honest. That if a person is selling oil, so if you have a jug that has a pound of oil and you pour it into the lokeach's vessel, so not a full pound is going to go into the lokeach's vessel. A lot of the oil sticks to the side of your kli, so you have to leave it sitting there upside down for a long time for every last drop to come. come out. So that's why he would do it in advance, even on a weekday, to make sure that every last drop went to the lokeach and that he didn't keep anything for himself. Now, l'chora, this din in our Mishnah is a din that applies both by Shabbos and by Yom Tov. The Pnei Yeshua is even bothered. Why is this Mishnah Maseches Beitzah? This Mishnah might as well be Maseches Shabbos, because this is a din that applies both to Shabbos and Yom Tov, that a person could say, Maleli Kliza, if you don't mention the Midah. However, from the Rambam, it sounds like there's some sort of chilik between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because in Hilchas Yom Tov, Perek Dalet Alech Chavalef, the Rambam says, you're allowed to say Maleli Kliza, even by a Kli Midah, as long as you don't mention the Midah. But in Shabbos, Perek Chav Gimel, Alech Yud Gimel, in Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam says, just like it's usher to weigh things, so too it's usher to count and to measure, Bein B'Kli Midah, Bein B'Yad, Bein B'Chevel, however you're going to measure it out. So it sounds like you're not allowed to fill with clay midah, even if you don't mention the midah by Shabbos, whereas by Yom Tov, it's mutter. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. So the Beis Yosef quotes from Maria Buav that explains the Rambam based on a Ran. The Ran over here in Tazayin Amud Aleph explains that we allow measuring in a kli only if the lokech takes the kelim of the mocher with him back home, but not to put into the kelim of the lokech, because then the kli is actually being used as a kli midah for everything, meaning there's no other function of the kli. If I'm going to take the kelim of the mocher home, so that's just the packaging that he offers it in. It happens to be exactly a 1 pound container or whatever, but that's what I'm taking home with me. It's not purely a kli midah. But if I don't take the kelim of the mocher home with me, then they're being used purely as a kli midah. So says the Beis Yosef in the name of Maria Buav. So when the Rambam asks in Hilchas Shabbos, it's not that Shabbos is different than Yantiv. When he asks in Hilchas Shabbos, he's talking about a case where the mocher pours it into the kelim of the lokeach. In Hilchas Yom Tov, when he's matirit, he's talking about a case where the mocher gives the kelim to the lokeach to take home. So, but there is no chiluk between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Beis Yosef just asked on that would make a lot of sense if the Rambam would bring the more lenient din in Hilchas Shabbos and the more strict din in Hilchas Yom Tov, because then you'd be able to make a kal v'chomer. If we're even machmir on Yom Tov hakal, for sure we're going to be machmir on Shabbos, which is chomer. And if we're even makel on Shabbos, which is chomer, for sure we're going to be makel on Yom Tov, which is kal. So that would have made more sense if the Rambam would have set it up in that way. But the Rambam quotes the more machmir din in Hilchas Shabbos and the more makel din in Hilchas Yom Tov. So it's difficult to understand why he would do that if it's really the same din in both places. So that's what the Beis Yosef says, that Be'emes, the halacha is that it's mutter both in Shabbos and in Yom Tov. And the Rambam writes his din, Dafka in Hilchas Yom Tov, it's not because of the Svara of the Ran, it's just because the Mishnah says it in Maseches Yom Tov, so the Rambam quotes it in Hilchas Yom Tov. And when the Rambam says in Hilchas Shabbos that you're not allowed to measure in a clay midah, what he means is b'midas karka o begadim, in different types of midos, not the midos that you would normally measure out food with. The Rambam says bein bechevel. Chevel is a measuring rope that you would measure out karka. That's but a midas lach, a container that you would measure out liquids with. Typically, that would be mutter on Shabbos as well. That's how the Beis Yosef understands the Shitas HaRambam. Says the Gemara, Mayava lo b'midah. So what was this machlokas in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, where the Tanakhama says, Avalo b'midah, you're not allowed to measure out b'midah, and Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was a kli shel midah, you're not allowed to use it. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. The first explanation is Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel says, Avalo b'kli hameyuchad l'midah. The Tanakhama means to say, you're not allowed to use a kli that's designated specifically for measuring. Av a kli ha'omed l'midah yimalenu, but a kli that has not yet been used as a measuring kli, even though if your measuring kli breaks, this is the kli you're going to use because it's perfectly viable as a measuring kli, you just haven't yet used it as a measuring kli, that you're allowed to do according to the Tanakhama, that you're allowed to use. Vasar Rabbi Yehuda l'meimar afilu kli ha'omed l'midah lo yimalenu, and Rabbi Yehuda comes and says that no, even if it's a kli that has not yet been used, but is something that's omed l'midah, that could theoretically be used as a measuring kli, then you may not use it on Yom Tov. So Alma, it seems from our Mishnah, from this understanding of our Mishnah at least, Gabe Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra, Rabban l'kula, that when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be more machmir, and he's going to be more limiting in what you're allowed to use as a measuring kli, and the Rabbanan are going to be more lenient, they're going to be more permissive in terms of what you're allowed to use as a measuring kli, because they allow using using the kli that's viable as a measuring kli, so long as it hasn't yet been used as a measuring kli. So frak the Gemara va'yibchav shamin elahu. But we learned that these same two opinions hold the exact opposite when it comes to how lenient we're going to be for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov. The Tanami, we just learned yesterday, Rabbi Yudah Amar Shokol Adam Basar Kenegad HaKli Kenegad HaKofitz, when it comes to weighing out the meat, Rabbi Yudah holds that the butcher is allowed to measure, is allowed to weigh it out on a scale, putting a kli on the other side of the scale, as long as he doesn't put the normal weights on the other side of the scale. He could put a kli, he could put a meat cleaver on the other side of the scale. The Chum Amrim, Ein Mashkiichu Mechaf Mazayin Kalikr. The Chum say, no, you got to have nothing to do with the scale. You can't put anything anywhere near the scale. So Alma Rabbi Yehuda L'kulav Rabban L'chumra. So in that case, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient in terms of what he's going to allow for weighing in terms of Simchas Yom Tov, and the Rabbanon are more machmir. So Kashat Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, Kashat Rabbanon Ad Rabbanon. It's a double stira. It's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a stira in the Rabbanon. So Gemara says, let's take one at a time. Rabbi Yehuda Ad Rabbi Yehuda L'kasha. When it comes to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so Rabbi Yehuda over by the weighing out the meat, Rabbi Yehuda was more makil, and he allowed you to use to use other kalim to weigh out the meat. And over here, he was more machmir by not allowing a kli that's even potentially could be used for midah. So that's not a stira. Hasam b'she'eno omed l'midah, hacha ba'omed l'midah. Over there, he was dealing with things that were not really meant to be used for measuring at all. He was dealing with just putting other kalim. So that's less of an uvda d'chol problem, and therefore he holds that's okay. But over here, you're using a kli that's going to one day be used as a measuring kli. As soon as you're the one you're currently using breaks, this is going to be the one that you use. It's a kli that's omid l'midah, so that's more of an uvda d'chol. What about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan ad Rabbanan nami lo kasha. The Rabbanan, who are lenient over here to allow you to use a kli that has not yet been used l'midah, we're still machmir over there about using a scale, that's not a stira. Hasam kavid kedavdin mechol, hachalo kavid kedavdin mechol. Over there, you were using a scale that you use every single day, and therefore that's uvda d'chol. Even though you happen to not be using weights on the other side of the scale, using kalim, but your mamish using the same utensil that you use every single day to weigh things, you're using a scale. That's uvda d'chol. Over here, you're using something that you've never used in any business transaction yet. So that's not uvda d'chol, the fact that it's never been used for actually measuring things, so it's not going to be a violation of uvda d'chol. As Rashi said, that dayin lo yatza tivo shel kli zeh l'midah. This kli is not yet a measuring kli. It's never actually been used as a measuring kli. So that is one approach to understanding our Mishnah, that the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is whether one is allowed to use a measuring kli that has not yet actually been used as a measuring kli, but is just ra'ui to be used as a measuring kli. Rava Amar's second explanation of what's going on in our Mishnah. May avalo b'mida. What does the Tanakama mean when the Tanakama says avalo b'mida? Shelo yizkar lo shame mida. Avalo b'mida means that you should not mention the name of the midah, the name of the measurement, that it's a revius or whatever. You shouldn't mention the name of the midah. But if you happen to have a kli that's exactly the size of a revius, you could fill that up and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with using a regular measuring kli. Just don't say the words. Don't say what kind of measuring kli it is. And Rabbi Yudah comes in as more machmir and says, no, if it's a regular measuring kli that you use all the time, you're not allowed to use it. So this understanding, Rava's understanding of the machlokas, is that we're not talking about a kli that has not yet been used. We're talking about the machlokas even on a kli that already has been used. It's used every day, l'midah. And still the Tanakama is going to be makel. Still the Tanakama is going to allow using it. He's only not going to allow mentioning exactly what the midah is. But you can use a kli that you use every single day for measuring. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's too much. You're not allowed to use a kli that you use every single day for measuring. But still, Alma Gabi Simchas Yom Tov Rabbi Yehuda L'chomer Rabban Lukula. Again, it seems that when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir, because this explanation also has it, that Rabbi Yehuda is being more machmir than the Shita of the Tanakama. So we could ask the same question, Vayibcha Shamin Elu, that we learned just the opposite in yesterday's daf. Titnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shokal Adam Basar Kenegad HaKliu Kenegad HaKofitz, V'chomer Min Mashkich Mechaf Mazayim Kalikr. When it comes to weighing out meat, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use a scale as long as you don't use weights on the other side of the scale, and the Chum say that you're not allowed to use a scale at all. Salma Rabida Lukulov Rabban Lukhurma. Kashad Rabida Drabida, Kashad Rabban, Adrabban. So in that case, Rabida was more lenient, Rabban were more machmir, and again it's a double stira. So says Mart, let's take one at a time again. Drabida Drabida Lokasha, it's not a stira in Rabida. Hasum Bisha'ino, Miyucha Damida. Hacha Miyucha Damida. The reason he doesn't, he allows weighing using kalim in the previous Mishnah was because those kalim are not miyuchad lamida; they're not designated for weighing something. Over here, he's more machmir because he's not going to allow using a measuring kli that's used all the time for measuring. The rabbanan nami lo kasha. The stira and the rabbanan is also not a stira. Now we can't give the same answer that we gave before because the whole answer that we gave before in the first version was that the reason the rabbanan were so lenient over here was that you never use this kli anyway. It's not over the dechal. You never used it anyway for measuring. But according to Rava's understanding of the machlokas, you have used this kli for measuring every single day, and the rabbanan still allow you to use it as long as you don't mention the mida. So how are we going to answer the stira now? So answer the Gemara: Hasam ka'avid kida avdin b'chol. In the case where you're using the scale, so that's regular of the dechal. You're using a scale like you would every other day. Hachalo ka'avid kida avdin b'chol. Da'avdi inshi de makarvi chamer b'mana de kilo v'shasu. That you're over here, you're not doing what you would normally do on a weekday, because normally a lokech would say, "Give me a lug." He would tell you exactly how much he wants. You would never say, "Take this kli and fill it up for me," as that's not the normal way to purchase something, and therefore that is not really an uvda dechal type of issue. People all the time will take kalim and will bring him home, as long as you don't say the actual mida, that's going to be okay to do on Yom Tov as well. Okay, so the Mishnah went on to tell a story of Maisa Babishol ben Batnis, that this Abishol ben Batnis would fill up all of his midos on Erev Yom Tov, and he would give them out to the Lekuchos on Yom Tov. So Tana Af B'moedos Hakein, Mnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, that he would even do this on Chol HaMoed because of Bittel Beis HaMedrash. Now in our Mishnah, we had a Girsa that Af B'moedos Hakein, Mepnei Birurei HaMidos, that he would do this even on Chol HaMoed to make sure that the foam would have time to settle. Now, if you notice in the Mishnah, there's an Aleph in the Mishnah that points you to the Hagos Hagra. Hagos Hagra takes out the words Mipnei Birurei Amidos. The reason he takes out those words Mipnei Birurei Amidos is because the Gemara feels the need to explain why he would do this on Chol HaMoed, and the Gemara says that it's not because of Birurei Amidos, it's because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash, that if he would spend all this time on Yantif measuring out the kelim and waiting for the foam to settle, so he would never have any chance to learn. He needed to, he was a big Talmud Chacham, people would come and ask him shaylus. He needed to be available on Yantif to speak and learning with people. So he would have to prepare in advance to make sure that all the midos were measured out properly. Now Rashi points out over here, Leman de Garas Masisim Nebirur Amidos Mefarishachi. If you're going to keep the gears in the Mishnah, that it's Mepnei Birurei Amidos, you'll explain as follows. Mepnei Bittul Beis HaMidrash Shal Bayi Moed Lo Yeh Panoi Lishos Levar Amidosav Shlei Artichu Lefichach Malam Belayla. Since he was such a busy Talmud Chacham, he wasn't going to have time on Chol HaMoed to wait for the foam to settle. So it's one and the same. Birurei Amidos because of Bittul Beis HaMidrash. Birurei Amidos was only an issue because he was such a busy Talmud Chacham, the Bittul Beis HaMidrash didn't allow him to have time to wait for the Birurei Amidos on the Yantif itself. That's why he had to do it the previous day. So it's really one and the same. It all goes together, the Birurei Amidos and Bittul Beis HaMedrash, says Rashi. Tan Rabbanan. So back in the Gemara now. Tan Rabbanan, the second wide line. Hu kanas shalosh meos garbe yayin mi Birurei Amidos v'chaver of kansu shalosh meos garbe shemen mi mitzvei amidos. That he managed to gather together 300 jugs of wine just from the extra that didn't get sold for customers who didn't wait for the foam to settle, so he had 300 extra jugs of wine that he really owed them that they never took because they were running out of his store, and his chaverim managed to get 300 jugs of oil from the mitzvei amidos. They managed to get together that amount of extra that was really due to the customers. So they didn't know what to do with all of this extra stuff. So the Tos Rid raised a question, wait a second, according to the Chum that said in the Mishnah that gam b'chol haya osakein mitzvei amidos, that he would do this not just just on Yontif, but on Chol HaMoed, and on weekdays, he makes sure every last drop comes out. How did he ever gather together 300 jugs of wine, 300 jugs of oil? If everything, if he was always so makbid on a weekday, on Yontif, he was always so makbid. So the Tosrid suggests that maybe a lot of times people, he was makbid, but the customer wasn't always so makbid. The customer was in a rush, so he's just, give me what I want and let me get out of here. So a lot of times, meaning even though he would measure things out in advance, it's like a lot of times the local grocery store, by the takeout place, so they'll measure out a pound of coleslaw in advance and they'll sell it by the pound. But sometimes it's so busy that all the pounds are taken off of the shelf already, and they're still going to need to measure out new ones as you're going there on Erev Shabbos or on Erev Yantif. So sometimes he'd get so busy that no matter how much he prepared in advance, he was still measuring it out, and it was a busy day, and he didn't have time, and they didn't have time to wait for the Mitzvah Amidos. And that's where all 300 jugs of wine came from, because he was such an honest person, everyone wanted to do business with him, everyone wanted to buy from him. So he got very, very busy sometimes, and he couldn't prepare all that much in advance. Other Achronim, some of the Achronim suggest that it could be that this is talking about before he took on the practice to start measuring out everything perfectly. Once he saw how much he was stealing from people, once he saw how much extra he had, he said, I better start measuring things in advance. This is not good if he's left with 300 extra jugs of wine of things that he's not really entitled to. So it could be that it was a change in Hanhaga when he realized what was going on. So he had all of this extra stuff. So what did he do? They brought them to the Gizbarim in Yerushalayim, figuring maybe the Beis HaMikdash would have some interest in this extra wine and oil. He didn't want to use it. He was already paid for it. He didn't want to take it for himself. Some of them, the Gizbarim, said to them, Yatem Zukukum Lakach. You should know you don't have to do this. It's fine. You don't have to worry about Gezel. As Rashi says, since Mitchila, you weren't trying to steal, and the Lakuchos were Mochel because they were busy and they didn't have time to wait for you, so that to wait for everything to settle. So they were Mochel it, so you don't have to worry about anything. You didn't steal anything, so take it. You don't have to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. So Amr Lahem, Af Anu Ein Ritzoneinu Bekach. So they said, yeah, but we don't want it. We don't want something that we're not really entitled to, even if it's not actual Gezel, we're not interested in taking it. So you would think the Gizbarim would now take it. But Amr Lahem, the Gizbarim said, Ho v'chmartam al'atzmachem, asumeyam tzorchei rabim. Since you're machmir to treat this as Gezel, so here's what you do with when you have Gezel and you don't know who to give it back to, you can't find a person to return it to, you should do tzorchei rabim with it, to do something that benefits the entire community with it. So the Achronim ask, wait a second, once the Gizbarim tell them it's not Gezel, so why don't the Gizbarim take it for themselves, for the Beis HaMikdash? If it's not Gezel, there should be no problem in taking it for the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi already alludes to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei Gezel Ba'ola, that specifically when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we're extra machmir when it comes to Inyanim of Gezel, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. So even though it's not Meikra Din Gezel, it's still not right for the Beis HaMikdash to take things that someone might view as Gezel. So that's why they didn't want to take it at all, even for the Beis HaMikdash. Now in the Sefer Simchas Yom Tov, he says what Rashi writes over here is that the Lukuchos were Mochel, and that's why it's not Gezel. So he says, wait a second, if it's all based on Mechila, what if children bought from them? So children are not B'nai Mechila, then Itaka is Gezel. Well, that would explain why they didn't want to take it for the Beis HaMikdash, because then it would actually be Gezel, because children are not B'nai Mechila. So in Sefer Simchas Yantav, he says that Lule Pirush Rashi, he would have said that since it's standard practice not to wait for every last drop to come out and not to wait for all the foam to settle, that it has nothing do with Mechila. It's that when people say, I'm buying a pound of X, I'm buying a gallon of this, so they don't really mean the full gallon, they don't really mean the full pound. That it's in language, when we use those terminologies, the terminology doesn't actually mean the full amount, because that's no one does that. So it's not about a Mechila, it's about that was the original agreement, and therefore it doesn't even come to Mechila in the first place. So then we would understand very much what the Chum say, that whole the because Baram said, "Hol v'chmarta malatzmechem," and you're mekabel this kesef for the biruri amidos. So it turns out that it's gzeili hibiyachem because you're machmir in your language. That's not what it meant. In your language, you're machmir in yourselves. Hol v'chmarta malatzmechem means you're always machmir about biruri amidos. When you say you're selling a pound, you mean a pound. When you say you're selling a gallon, you mean a full gallon. So now you tak have a gezel problem. Then you should treat it like you have gezel biyachem. That's the way the Simchas Yom Tov explains it. So what do you do when you have gezel and you don't know who it belongs to? Titania, gezel ve'in yodeh lemi gezel. If a person has stolen and he has no idea who he has stolen from, yasbem tzorchei rabim. You should do something that benefits the public. You do something that benefits the community. Meinin, who, what is the tzorchei rabim? Samar of chista, borosh shichna ma'aros. Tzorchei rabim means that you dig wells, you dig things of to supply water to the community. And this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and Chosher Mishpat Simon Shin Samach Vav Siv Beis. Shulchan Aruch says if someone stole and he doesn't know who he stole from, Yasavim Tzarchei Rabim. What's the Svara? So the Sman, the side of the Shulchan Aruch says that the idea is if you do something that benefits the whole community, hopefully the people you stole from will benefit from it as well. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan just expands on it a little more. He says they're going to benefit from it as well, and therefore, hopefully, they'll be Mochel. So Abal Atayim say, you know, so you're going to go and try to benefit as many people as possible. The people you stole from will hopefully benefit from it. They're going to realize that it was their money that paid for it. And they're going to say, they're going to realize that they're getting hung up from their money. Hopefully that will allow them to be mochel. So that's the best way to deal with money that was stolen when you can't find everyone that you stole it from. Now, when it comes to a person who cheated people with weights and measures and the like, Shulchan Aruch paskins that oncho kasha mod. Shulchan Aruch says that he has a very, very difficult onesh because he can't do tshuva shlema since he stole from the rabbim and he has no idea who he stole from. So the Smash says that even though you could do tsarche rabbim, but that's not full takana. That doesn't, it's not a full tshuva, and a person has to be very, very a person has to work very hard to find out who he actually stole from before he just says, all right, I'll just do tzorche rabim. If there's some way to investigate and figure out who you stole from, the mitzvah Heshavas Hagzeil is still primary. This isn't a substitute for that. It's just the best you can do given the circumstances of the inability to actually do tshuva. Now, if the ganav knows that the nignav is not going to get any hanah from the money when he does tzorche rabim, let's say you live in a medina rechok, you live far away from where you stole, so you know that whatever you supply the rabim with in your community that you live now, the Nignav is not going to benefit from it. So then the poskim have a suffix whether you should still do tzorchei rabim, whether you should still be motzi the money from mitachas yada, whether you're allowed to keep the money at that point. Meaning, if you're not going to return it to the person you stole it from, and there's no way that person is going to get any anah, the whole point of doing tzorchei rabim is just to give that person anah. So maybe you're allowed to keep the money, or maybe no. Maybe it's dafka knas that you shouldn't be able to keep the money, that you should do something else with it. So there's a discussion in the poskim. Someone in one of the tshuvas farim, they discuss, can you use it to give the oil for the menorah in the shul, for the Chanukah menorah in shul? Is that called tzorchei rabim? Because the whole shul is benefiting from the Chanukah menorah. So he says, no. The point of tzorchei rabim is boros tichon ma'oros were dafka chosen because those are things that are going to be there forever. If not forever, but for a very, very long time. And that's why the chances are the person is going to ultimately benefit from it. You do something for one day, that guy doesn't show, the guy you stole from doesn't show up to shul that day, so then he didn't benefit at all from it. You want to have the best bet of having him actually benefit from it. The Rav Moshe discusses, Rav Moshe in the tshuva, in the Gros Moshe Chosh Mishpah Chelik Aleph, Simon Peiches, discusses what if you stole from a kupa shel tzedakah? You stole from a tzedakah fund. So he says, it's not enough to just give it back to tzedakah. Obviously, you'd have to give it back to the tzedakah fund, but he says you'd have to do it anonymously. You have to make sure that you give it to the tzedakah fund in a way where they can't track that it came from you, because there's no way that you're allowed to get the kavod and the hakaras hatov as someone who gave tzedakah if you stole from the money from the tzedakah fund and you're just returning the money that you stole. So that's what Moshe writes in Shuvah. There's a fascinating case that Rav Zilberstein has over here in Chashuk Echemed. He says he had a case of a bal tshuva. A guy came to a rav for some, and he says, 20 years ago, I broke into a jewelry store, and I stole many very, very valuable gems. I stole a lot of money worth of jewelry, and he lays it all out on the table in front of the rabbi, and he says, here it all is. And I know that it was on, it was in the Diamond District. and I know that that's where the store was, and I walk up and down the street trying to remember which store it was. Every day I can't figure out which store it was. I have no recollection of who I stole from. So I don't know what to do. I don't know who to return it to. So he says, the only eitz I can think of is if I go to the police station and I tell them, listen, I stole 20 years ago. If you can look back, so anyone filed a report that someone had stolen from them, and then I'll know which store to give it back to. But if I do that, I'm going to sit in jail for a couple of years, and I'd really rather not sit in jail. My kids are B'nai Torah, whatever, it's going to ruin their shidduchim that their father's a ganav. I'd rather not sit in jail. I want to return it. I have it all of it here. I don't want to, it's killing me, but I don't want to sit in jail for it. Is he mechuyev to sit in jail for it? Is he mechuyev to go to the police, to turn himself in, sit in jail for it? Now, I don't know why Rav Zilberstein didn't tell him, just have a third party involved, you know, anonymously have a third party go to the police and report it. Someone who it couldn't have been that would have stolen it. Maybe someone who wasn't born yet then, like have a 15-year-old or something. So someone who couldn't have been, but he doesn't suggest that. And he says
they can subpoena the third party.
Yeah, they can subpoena the third party. Okay, so right, so that's why. So Rav Zilberstein thought that he's not chayiv to sit in jail. That in that case he's not chayiv to return it. He should give it to a Beis Din and let Beis Din hold on to it till they could figure out what to do with it. But he doesn't think he's chayiv to sit in jail. He said it may be lifnei yiver. If it's this is an Eretz Yisrael, he said it may be lifnei yiver to turn himself in because it's lifnei yiver on having them be done a din that's not a din Torah. That the din Torah is veishvas agzela and he's returning the money and they're going to be done a din that's not a din Torah. So you shouldn't go and return it. It's a pretty interesting take on it. Adbir Rav Chisda L'Rabbanu Ukva, back in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Adbir Rav Chisda L'Rabbanu Ukva V'Darash. So Rav Chisda taught Rabbanu Ukva the following. Lo yimdo radim sa'orim v'yitin lefnei behemto b'yomtov. A person shouldn't measure out barley to give to his animal in yomtov. Avol koder hu kavo kavai o kavim v'nosin lefnei behemto v'enochoshish. But he can go to the actual pile of grain and take a kav cup and just pull out a kav worth of grain and put it in front of his animal. Nachtom normally means a baker. Rashi says over here it just means a cook because bakers don't deal with spices and a tavshil. So this is a cook. A person who's cooking is allowed to measure out his spices and in order that the dish will taste good, he's allowed to measure out the spices. The Rishonim have machlokas over here. Is it dafka nachtom that's allowed to do this? What if you're cooking at home? So the Miri says not dafka nachtom, but a balabais that's cooking for himself, they were never makel for, because he's only mevasha a little bit, so it's much easier for him to keep track of how much spices he needs. But the nachtom, it's more difficult. He's a professional cook, so he's dealing with much larger numbers, and therefore we're specifically makel for him. The Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh says, no, the reason we're makel for a nachtom is because he's selling for the rabbim, so we're choshesh for hefsid meruba, as opposed to a person that's mevasha la'atzmo, it's only a hefsid muat. But it's the same idea still, that it's only for a nachtom. The Magen Mishnah disagrees. The Magen Mishnah, the fourth parak of Hilchos Yom Tov, says lav dafka nachtom. It applies for everybody. The Gemara just speaks both in aragil. Then normally, who's the one that's cooking? It's the cook that's cooking. So that's why we talk about a nachtom. Yamshel Shlomo takes the opposite approach. He says the Gemara says a nachtom as an extra chiddush that even a nachtom is allowed to measure. Normally, if you're a professional cook, you don't have to measure. You just have a sense of what's right. But if you're cooking at home and you're trying to follow a recipe, you need to measure in order to figure it out. So the chiddush is that even a nachtom who has a sense of how to cook a little bit better, so is allowed to measure it out. A woman is allowed to measure out flour in order to make a dough so that she'll be mafresh challah properly, because if she's not sure, Rashi says, if she's not sure how much dough she has, she's going to be more stingy in the challah because she's going to be nervous that she doesn't have enough, so she can measure it out so she can know exactly how much she has. Like if your wife is having company, you're having company that Shabbos, and your wife says, I'm not sure if I made enough food. So sometimes it's helpful to say, we have 12 people coming. We have 48 chicken cutlets. There is no way that everyone eats four, right? Once you measure it out and you actually look at the numbers, it's impossible. Then you'll realize that you have enough. So the woman will be much more comfortable if she has it all counted out. But Shmuel says you're not allowed to do this. But didn't Tana de Beis Shmuel tell us that it's mutter? Amravai, Hashadamar Shmuel Asr. Tanu de Beit Shmuel Mutter, Shmuel Alach L'maisa Asal Hashminan, which Tosfos understands means that that Shmuel, this was like a halacha ve'in morin came type of situation. That even though technically he holds it's Mutter, he holds that you're not supposed to do it. So Machlokas, Tosfos quotes, who should we paskin like over here? Hilchasa Kerav bi'isure, or do we say that since the Gemara uses the term Shmuel Halach L'maisa Asal Hashminan, that we should paskin like Shmuel, because Shmuel is the definition of what is halacha lemaisa over here. But hilchasa krav bi'isurei, plus you have the fact that Shmuel really held mikra din like Rav over here. So maybe you should say like Rav. Tosfos struggles with that issue of who to paskin like in this situation. He says nowadays we for sure would not be allowed to measure out flour for the sake of being mafresh challah, because nowadays we don't give exact measures of hafreshas challah anyway. We just take off a little piece anyhow. Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa. Ain't shonim kamach b'yamtiv. You're not allowed to double sift flour on yantiv. They would sift it once before yantiv, but the second sifting you can't do on yantiv. Bishum Rab Papias from Yudah ben Maseira Omer shonim. They held that you can. The shavim shim nafal l'tochen tsroru kisem sheshonim. But everyone agreed that if a rock fell into the flour, for sure you're allowed to sift it again. Tani Tana kamed Ravina. Ain't shonim kamach b'yamtiv. Of nafal tsroru kisem bar biyada. You're not allowed to sift it again, but if a rock fell in, you could pull it out with your hand. Amalei kolshkein dasu davalei kabore. He says, no, that's worse, because then it looks like you're violating borer. At least when you sift, it's violating merakid, but if it's already clean, because it was already sifted once, it's not going to look like merakid. But over here, it looks like borer. Dorish rava barafuna zuti apischa dinardash shonin kemach biyamtov. He said, you're allowed to re-sift flour on yantif. Amalei rav nachon pokuv amalei la'abashki. He says, you might as well, you didn't do us any favors by teaching us. Go look around the whole town. Everyone has sifters that are active on Yantiv. Meaning, you didn't teach us anything new by telling us you're allowed to sift on Yantiv. Obviously, every woman already knows this because everyone's already doing it. Rav Yosef's wife used to sift the flour using the back of the sifter to sift. She would do it in an unusual way. So he said to her, why are you doing it that way? I would really prefer to have good bread. And the way you're doing it in an unusual way, it's not going to be as good. You don't have to do that. It's his way of saying you could do it in the normal way. A shinoi is not necessary. At least that's the way Rashi understands what he was saying. Not everyone agrees to that. Debitu de Ravashi nola kimcha agava de patura. So the wife of Ravashi did it on the back of the table, or the counter that she did it on. The way Tosfos says that she just did it straight on the counter instead of sifting into a kli, which would be the normal way. So she also did a shinoi. So I'm Ravashi. Ravashi's comment about his wife was not that you're doing it wrong. He said about his wife, Hadi Dan Barti Rami Bar Chama. My wife is the daughter of Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama Maradu Uvda Hava. You know what kind of Talmud Chacham Rami Bar Chama was? Vilav the Chazim Benasa Lava Avda. Had he not had a Masorah, that this is the way it's supposed to be done, and she not received this Masorah, it never would have been done this way. So obviously what she's doing is correct, and the Raya is that that's what my wife does, so it's got to be correct. So two different attitudes about what their wives were doing. The post can discuss whether it's the same thing, whether the two shinois are the same, or maybe they could actually be agreeing with each other, and one shinoi may be not necessary, and the other shinoi may be necessary. Okay, holich adam etzel chenvani aragel etzlob. A person could go to a storekeeper that he normally goes to, v'omer lo ten li beitzim ve'gozim b'minyan, and he can say, give me X amount of eggs, X amount of nuts, shekein derech bal habayis lios mona b'toch peso, because these are things that a bal habayis would count even in his house. Tanu rabbanan, so we have a braisa. Holich adam etzel roa haragelat. So a person can go to a shepherd that he goes to all the time, v'omer lo ten li gedi echad or tla echad, and he can say, give me one of this type of animal, one of that type of animal, etzel tabach haragelat. So he can go to a butcher that he normally goes to, v'omer lo ten li kafachas or yarachachas, give me this cut of meat, that cut of meat. Eitzel patav aragel etzlo, he can go to a place where he buys birds that he normally goes to, and he could say v'omer lo ten li tur echad or gozel echad, give me this kind of bird, give me that kind of bird. Eitzel nachtom aragel etzlo, he can go to a baker that he normally goes to, v'omer lo ten li kikar echad or gluskachas, give me one loaf, give me one piece of cake. Eitzel chenvani aragel etzlo, to a storekeeper, v'omer lo ten li esrim beitzim or chamisha megozim asara aparsikin chamisha rimonim. He can place a whole fruit order with the exact numbers. As long as he doesn't mention the skum mida, he doesn't mention, Rashi says that means kav, kavayim, he doesn't mention a measurement. He just mentions a number of items that he wants. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, skum mekach, that it's as long as he doesn't mention an amount of money that he's buying it for. So that's how Rashi understands skum mida and skum mekach. Tosfos says, why is that skum? That's just don't mention the midah. What's skum midah? So it says Tosos, no, that skum, the first of all, the gears is not skum midah, skum minyan. And it's going as follows, that a person go to the chenveni and he can say, give me 5 egozim, 10 parkinson, whatever, but he should not mention his previous tab. He shouldn't say, okay, this is 10 egozim, you've already given me 30 in the past that I owe you for, so now I owe you for a total of 40. Meaning you shouldn't tabulate on yantav exactly what he owes for all the previous purchases as well. That's the skum. That's what it means to add it up in the end. And Rabbi Shimon says, that he shouldn't say, give me a gozim b'shisha pshitin, and you already gave me yesterday for another 6 pshitin, so I owe you X amount of money altogether. That's what the objection is to, that he shouldn't mention the full amount of money that he owes in total at this point. So, tomorrow we'll begin the 4th parak of Maseches Beitzim.